Although the black wool suit has been hanging on the back of my closet door for the past 2 days, and it seemed perfect when I put it on this morning, now it just feels tight and itchy. I can't remember the last time I felt so uncomfortable. I have a sudden urge to rip off my stockings, Escada skirt, and Armani silk blouse, and run around in only my bra and underwear like I did that one Thanksgiving when I was 4. And my tights and corduroy dress were giving me hives. But I doubt anyone would find it cute this time, the way they did then, especially during my father's funeral service.
"Are you okay?"
Mark whispers in my ear. "Of course I'm not okay," I whisper back, shooting him a look that has unfortunately become all too familiar these past few days.
"Sorry,"
I mumble, attempting a feeble grin as an apology for my behavior.
"That's not what I meant,"
Mark offers. Hopefully he is trying to remember that I'm going through one of the most challenging weeks of my life, and I'm not usually this much of a bitch.
"It's just that you're squirming in your seat,"
Mark says, not finishing his sentence.
"I'm fine,"
I whisper back, regretting the harsh tone in my words as soon as they leave my lips. Unfortunately, my voice comes out much louder than I expect it to, as evidenced by the curious looks I receive from my aunt and uncle across the pew. I give them a sad smile that hopefully conveys grief, sympathy, and love for my husband, if it's possible for one smile to wear 3 different hats.
"When is it going to start?"
Ryan complains, trying to speak softly. But as that's almost impossible for a 6-year-old boy, I'm quite certain that everyone in the back of the sanctuary hears him. And that's the reason for the quiet chuckles, as the rabbi makes his way to the front of the massive synagogue in Glencoe. Rabbi Saunders welcomes everyone and then speaks for several minutes about the sanctity of life and the tragedy that occurs when a life is lost before its time. He adds that this is especially sad because we also lost our mother before it was her time to go. I keep trying to pay attention, but I can't focus on what he's saying. As ridiculous as it seems, I keep picturing Dad sitting at the end of the row, shaking his head and clucking his tongue every time Rabbi Saunders says the word God or Adonai. The last time David Summer was in a synagogue was for his own wedding, and before that, for his bar mitzvah. He would find it absurd that this is the selected location for his funeral.
"I think you're up next,"
Mark says quietly, attempting not to upset me. I know he's still impressed that I chose to give the eulogy. He told me how brave he thought I was, but then Mark took that encouragement several steps too far when he said I would crush it. Who says that about a eulogy?
"Thanks,"
I say quickly, as I stand up and straighten the offending skirt and make my way to the pulpit at the front of the sanctuary. I take a deep breath and offer the same sad smile to everyone in the pews in front of me. I'm never nervous, and certainly never at a loss for words. But just in case, I wrote some bullet points on a piece of stationery last night, which is currently folded into 16 tiny squares in my left hand. Looking out at the mourners, the words I planned to say about my dad no longer seem quite right.